Wednesday. It's Wednesday. We're midweek, people. Midweek of the snowstorm. When will it stop? I thought we were supposed to get a little here, a little there, and then it was going to wrap up. It's not wrapping up.
No, it snowed a little bit this morning. It isn't snowing as we speak, not in downtown anyway. But it could sneak up on you, Wendy. You know how snow is. Very sneaky.
No, it's going to be too cold to snow. I know you claim that it isn't, but it's going to be 2 degrees. That's the high.
Both meteorologist Morgan Kochmeyer and the saint of all weather, Tom Skilling, have said that it cannot be too cold to snow. Despite what we have heard over the years, it can snow when it's really, really, really cold.
Not when it's two.
Two is too cold to snow, do you think? Call Skilling. See what he says.
Who are you going to believe?
Call him on the bat phone.
Me or Skilling or Kochmeyer?
Skilling.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Skilling.
That's a sad thing.
I believe he is America's most knowledgeable weather person, don't you?
Yes, and the world's friendliest.
The world's friendliest and the nation's best. Yeah, I do. Sorry, Steve Deschler.
Where's he now?
I don't know. I don't think he's working anymore. I'm having lunch today at a restaurant called About Last Knife. Have you ever heard of it? Have you?
No.
A friend of mine texted me yesterday, and he goes, we were planning on having lunch anyway, but we didn't know where we would have lunch. So he said, how about Last Knife? And I said, good, because I only eat at restaurants named after Demi Moore movies. And he said, where else have you eaten? And I said, I just had dinner at Indecent Porkposal. And then he wrote to me, have you tried G.I. Jam? Which I have not. And then I said, is that next to Fatal Snaction? And then he said, no, it's across the street from A Few Good Hens.
I got one I've been to.
Which one? Can you say it in the air?
Strip Steak Tees.
Oh, that's beautiful. You still can't have lunch with us, but it's beautiful.
Oh, you'll no. never let me have lunch
you. Can't
with
be
you.
In our exclusive club.
The two of you. There's really About Last Knife?
I never heard of it, but apparently it's on Michigan Avenue. I hope so, because he gave me an address. That's where I'm going. If it's not there, then he has fooled me once again. That's his thing, is likes to tell me places to go to that don't exist.
It's a downtown steakhouse. I love that.
But doesn't
that
have kind of a violent, even though we all know it's like About Last Night, I think once you throw knife into the title, although it's a restaurant, so there's going to be knives, it just
it's
sounds
dangerous. It's
going to so be dangerous.
No, you're fine.
It's going to be dangerous, Wendy.
Although you know you're going to have listeners coming now that you said
That's fine. I don't mind.
It's equal parts a play on words and a play on a steakhouse. From About Last Night, the classic movie set in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
to Morning After Conversation, we thought it was time to make steaks less serious and more fun.
Yep, they're right. I've been saying that for years. Why can't steaks be more fun? I mean, the porterhouse is fun, but the other steak, well, the ribeye occasionally is fun. Skirt steak is always fun, but most steaks are not.
Your skirt steak is way too short, by the way. I don't know, skirt. Come on, you just
crazy.
Gave me a billion
That's
puns
crazy.
And you rolled your eyes at me.
You know who wrote About Last Night, don't you?
Yeah, Tim Kazarinski. I love that
and
movie.
And Denise DeClue. They co-wrote it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I loved that movie. I mean, I was watching it, just Demi Moore and Rob Lowe, I just wanted, that was just...
They were scrumptious.
That was just a relationship you
sure.
wanted to work out. And when they had troubles, you felt for them.
Yes. You think you'd still feel that way if you watched it today?
I don't know. I really should watch it.
It's one of those movies, every time they compile a list of movies that should have had sequels and didn't, they always list About Last Night. And the story that Tim Kazarinski tells is that, keep in mind, there were four leads in the movie. You had Rob Lowe, you had Demi Moore, you had the great James Belushi. Who I think was Jim Belushi during this.
Yeah, he was.
I don't think he was James yet. He did not achieve Jamesdom yet. He was still Jim Belushi.
He was very himself in this.
And Elizabeth Perkins was the fourth.
Oh, yeah, I liked her.
So the story that Tim Kazarinski tells is that they were all set immediately to have a sequel because it did really big box office. People loved the movie. It got good reviews. And they went through this 8 or 9 year period where one of them was always popular and too busy to do it. And they all said, well, we can't do it without her. We can't do it without him. And then the window closed. They never got the movie made.
What would have happened, do you think?
Oh, I think it would have been...
Hurry up. I'm going to the lunch back of Notre Dame for
oh!
lunch.
Well done. Now, Demi Moore was not in that movie, was she?
Yeah.
Was she? Oh, she was in the cartoon version.
She was the
version.
Voice, yes.
The Lunchback of Notre Dame. All right, you can sit outside the restaurant while we have lunch. You can't sit with us, but you can sit outside. I'm sure they have outdoor dining there. That's really good. What's another title from Demi Moore?
I don't know, but now I can't focus on anything else.
Lunchback at Notre Dame might be the best one. She was in that. Was she Esmeralda in that?
Yeah, she was the voice. Oh, there are some movies that actually would work. If these meatballs could talk.
That's pretty good.
If these walls could talk.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You're
what?
Now I can't concentrate on anything else but this.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to do that to you. I'm sorry.
There were a couple movies that actually, like Wild Oats she was in, so
well,
that
oats,
could actually
wild
be
Wild Oatmeal.
Or it could just be,
well,
that's
oats,
a restaurant.
Yeah, oats is a food, yeah. I don't think they do much business based on that. Do you? People go.
A breakfast place.
Yeah, all right.
I think there is a place called that. The Butcher's Wife.
Wild Honey Bunches of Oats. Oh, she was in The Butchers. Yeah, that already lends itself to a restaurant theme. Yeah. Who else was in that? The Butcher's Wife. I want to say the guy from Caddyshack. The one who was the kid, right? Is it Michael somebody?
Noonan.
Brian Noonan's in that? Is he?
Jeff Daniels is in it.
Oh, Jeff Daniels.
Mary Steenburgen. Francis McDormand.
Oh, it's a pretty good cast.
Yeah, I never saw this.
I don't know if I did either. Yeah, that one already, you don't even have to change that one. My food court is going to be all Demi Moore restaurants, every one of them. I'm going to make so much money.
Can't wait.
I'm going to be a hundredaire. It's going to change everything. I want to talk about this Academy Award controversy, Wendy. It wouldn't be the Academy Awards if there wasn't some controversy, right?
Now, when is this? This is in February?
Yeah, the end of next month. They're gonna run the Academy Awards the end of next month. Hostless, as we already know.
You know, I think didn't they do this one time before?
Yeah.
And no one really cared and missed anybody?
I'm the only one who seemed to have been bothered by it. But for me, I think it's because I was a stand-up that I always consider that 10 or 12-minute burst at the beginning of the Academy Awards where the host comes out and looks around the room and goes, oh, look, Kevin Kline is here. Hey, Kevin, does a joke about Kevin Kline. And then there's some joke about somebody else's. I love that.
If it's good.
If it's good.
If
right.
It's bad, you're like, why do they need a host?
Well, it's been bad when the host has not been a stand-up. When it's Billy Crystal, you know, any of the stand-ups who it's been over the last couple of years, it's usually pretty good. When it's Jon Stewart, when it's Jimmy Kimmel, when it's Whoopi Goldberg, that it's been pretty good. But when they throw in people that aren't
supposed to be doing
it. I love Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman couldn't be a more talented human being than he is. He shouldn't have hosted the Academy Awards. It was not good. James Franco and Anne Hathaway. That was horrendously bad.
Who's the guy who said he wasn't funny when he hosted SNL?
Liev Schreiber.
He should host it.
He should. He's always good for a laugh. And that's the exact amount he usually gets is one. Yeah. All right. So here's the controversy for the Academy Awards.
By the way, tomorrow, if you want to join me for breakfast, I'm going to the Demi Moore classic breakfast place, Toast, instead of Ghost. Or a champagne place, it could be called.
Are we getting any complaints, Tom?
Just
yeah,
from
we
Tom.
Are, we are, mostly from Tom, our producer. Jasmine, by the way, knew exactly which day to take off. Very smart lady. All right, so here is the controversy for this year's Academy Awards. And there will be more as we get closer and closer to the Academy Awards. But this is the first controversy. This is the first thing. And when I say controversy, I mean, aside from the fact that some people thought some movies should have been nominated and some shouldn't, you're always going to get that. That's residual effect of the Oscars.
That happens every year.
Every year. People go, wait a minute, that guy's movie, it was nominated for everything except Best Director? What? That always happens. All right, so in this particular instance, and this is a very sad story, one of the movies that was nominated for Best Documentary is a movie called Detainment, and it's a horrible story about a little boy. This happened in England in the mid-1990s. A boy who was abducted from his parents by two other kids. I think they were 10 or 11 years
God.
Old. They kidnapped this kid. They did horrible things to him. They tortured him and they killed him. awful, awful story. So they made this documentary, which I have not seen. Detainment. I have not seen Detainment. I've heard really good things about it.
It's only 30 minutes.
Yeah,
you can
it's
fit
a
it
short
into
film.
Your
yeah.
schedule.
But his parents are furious about this. His mother says, I don't want anybody making a profit on this thing. They started. She's not the one who started the petition. Somebody else started the petition, and it's got like 90,000 signatures already.
To get it nominated?
To take it off the ballot,
oh.
That it should not be nominated, that no one should bet. It's a story that they've already lived through, and it's been a horrendous thing for them to, you know, to go through it the first time. But then all of a sudden the movie comes out, and they weren't asked permission, which begs the question, if you're making a movie about something like this, which, you know, it's a big story in England. It was a giant story. Do you have to get permission from the family to make a movie like this?
Obviously not.
Obviously
if it's
not.
Public record, if it was in the news
right.
reports. But
right.
you'd think you'd want to do it with the blessing of the family.
Well, I would think it would make for a much better movie if you had, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know, but I would assume if I was going to see a story, a movie about this story, that key people like his parents would have some involvement. You know, who could tell the better story than them, you know?
Yeah.
It was a boy named James Bulger. It says the parents of James Bulger, the two-year-old boy who was murdered in Liverpool in 1993, have criticized the makers of the film about the case, which has been shortlisted for Oscar nomination.
What does that mean, shortlisted? I'm sorry.
In the past, shortlisted meant if they were considering movies to make the ballot, like a shortlist. They have five nominees. Every category has five nominees except best film. Best picture can have up to 10. But shortlisted means it's basically down to these seven or eight or nine movies as to which one will make it. But this hasn't only been shortlisted. This has made it. This is one of the nominees.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Maybe that part, maybe this was written before it got the nomination. Maybe. Detainment, which was written and directed by an Irish filmmaker named Vincent Lamb, is based on the transcripts of the police interrogation of Robert Thompson and John Venables. They were 10 years old at the time. They were subsequently convicted of the murder.
Jeez.
At 10. It won Best Short Film and a special jury award in 2018 at the Young Directors, I'm sorry, at the Lions Film Festival, which in turn is separate from the high-profile Cannes International Film Festival. It went on to win the Grand Prix at the Odense Film Festival, which is located in Denmark. It was then qualified to be considered for an Academy Award. So this must have been written before it was nominated, but it has since been nominated. Speaking to the Daily Mirror, Bulger's father, Ralph, said that Lamb had failed to contact him. Not once has the maker of this film contacted me or any of the James family about this film. That's an odd choice.
It is weird.
I think he must have known that they didn't want this to happen. Because if you're making a film, you want the most moving possible people involved to tell their story, and it would be the parents. So he must have had some gut reaction that they didn't want any involvement. It has been 26 years since my son was taken and murdered, and so I have seen many documentaries and news stories about him, but I have never been so cut up and offended by something that shows so little compassion to James and his family. I accept that this is the murder of such magnitude. It will always be written about and featured in the news. To make a film so sympathetic to James' killers is just devastating. Interesting. Bulger's mother, a woman named Denise Fergus, in an appearance on the ITV talk show Loose Women, also criticized the filmmakers for not consulting her and called for the Oscars to drop the film from its shortlist. Yeah, this has to have been just before it was nominated. The nominations were yesterday morning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, so this must have been written a day or two before. It has been put on the shortlist now for the Oscars, and I think it should be removed. She also accused Lamb, one of the filmmakers, of exploiting the tragedy. In my own personal opinion, I think he's just trying too big to bring his career up and to do so under someone else's grief is just unbelievable and unbearable. That's a tough call, because if something is part of the public, it's I can't say it's public domain, but it's
public records.
It's public records. It would be like, there's 1,000 examples, but there have been movies and stories about John Wayne Gacy. There have been movies and stories.
All right, but just make it like something simple, like say, you know, someone got a DUI and that's, you know, public, and then somebody makes a documentary about that.
Right.
Would, you know, if it was a family member, would you be happy about that?
No.
And that's like on such a smaller scale.
Right.
Because I don't know that I knew about this murder. I do now. Now I want to see the documentary. Them speaking out about it is...
Right.
Had they not spoken out, perhaps I would have just not paid attention to it.
But don't you think the parents are almost painting it as saying that it doesn't do the story justice? Like, there have been
According to them, we haven't seen it.
Right. I wonder if they've seen it. Do you think they've seen it? It's hard to say.
I don't know. Being a parent of a 2-year-old who was murdered by 2 10-year-olds, I don't know if I could watch that.
It would be very hard to watch. So if you're them, do you stop anybody from mentioning? You know how we have all those shows where they look at crimes that have happened, you know, and they kind of dissect them, and you're left to try to figure out who the murderer was. There's like 3 shows like that or 4 shows like that on television right now. So would those shows no longer be able to operate, you know, because I don't know whose consent you really need to get legally. Although if you're them, that's the last thing you want, is you're the worst thing that could ever happen to you to be paraded on either a big screen or on television, because it's just reliving the moment.
I have a terrible feeling that this is going to be happening more and more as we get more documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
And as we have more access to public records and arrests and things.
Right.
I have a terrible feeling. Now I'm going to be even better, so I don't get a documentary about me.
There's already one in the works, Wendy.
I hope it's good.
There's already one in the works. Did you see, I hate that all these shows run together in my head, but one of the shows that does like 90-minute or 2-hour versions where it's either a murder case or they tell you some story of something that happened years ago, and sometimes they revisit it to kind of catch you up. So they did one last Friday about the Bakers, about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and the PTL Club. I don't know what it was called, and I don't know which of those shows it was on.
Like Investigative Reports or something along those lines?
Yeah. That's it exactly. So it was that show where they kind of chronicled the rise and fall of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. And even though you know the story, I mean, nothing's going to shock you. You know how they built up this incredible PTL club, and people were sending them so much money. They showed these rooms where people had piles and piles of money. They couldn't count. There was no room to put the money that people were sending.
I know.
It was amazing. Well, the whole documentary was it wasn't a documentary, it was a TV show, but it was so great to show that rise and fall, because in the middle of it, you go, these guys are the most trusted people. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, everybody loved them and trusted them, and they blew it. And you go, how could they blow it?
There was something on 2020. 2020 dives into the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker
saga. Yeah, that must have been. Was it just last Friday? Friday?
Yeah. This was 5 days ago.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
I just don't, I think it's going to happen too much, and I feel sorry for these parents. You know, they lost...
Awful. Their kid was 2.
I know, but this was how many years ago?
It was in the 90s, the early 90s, I think. I'll tell you when it happened.
I still feel like in this...
1993.
I feel like you need permission to do a documentary about someone else's family. Well, when did that stop? And did, you know, because obviously they didn't hear about it when this was going on, or they would have gotten attorneys perhaps
to stop
production.
I wonder if they could have stopped it, or if the argument would have been, this is in the collective of life. It's just something that happened, so maybe you can't stop it. But yeah, it would be so impossible if you were them to relive this through the, and now this thing is going to get more and more and more attention because of this controversy, you know.
I hate to say this, but I want to watch it now.
Well, it's weird because when this happened, I don't remember it when it first happened in the 90s, but I do remember them talking about it and then saying, because it didn't happen in the United States, we have our own problems, we have our own stories, it didn't get much run here. But in England, this is like it's a huge famous case. It's gigantic.
I didn't know much about
just not
it.
So much here in the United States. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Kim Gordon's here. She'll give you the news, and then there's more discussion. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
What, are you French now?
No, I'm drunk.
Oh.
You know who's on the show tomorrow, Wendy?
All right, today was Joyce... Boulafont.
Boulafont.
Oh, you had her?
Joyce Boulafont.
How was
on
she?
Today. Amazing.
Bill was smiling ear to ear. She was adorable.
Yeah.
I will give
nice
you that.
Lady.
I remember she was on the list, but remind me who she was. That's a sweet way of putting it, Kim.
Best known for playing Murray's wife, Marie Slaughter, on Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, right.
She was also, you know, in Airplane, the lady who's watching her little girl.
Yes.
And she's got the guitar.
Yes,
Joyce Boulafont. 100 episodes of Match Game. She's in a Match Game all the time.
Oh,
she's on every
TV
show. Tattletales, Bonanza, Rawhide.
Was she the blonde?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shorter haircut.
Yes.
Very
and
nice
for
lady.
Those of you like Kim who missed the interview where Bill is all giddy.
I'm smitten.
And perhaps you could have married her. You can listen to that.
I suggested that she and I get married.
Was she as giddy to talk to you?
No.
Yes, she was. But you can listen to the podcast at WGNradio.com because it was pretty sweet.
I don't know how many interviews she does per year, but I would guarantee you that she wouldn't find two people.
How old is she?
More. She's in her 80s, 81, okay. I think.
She is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's young. Does she sound pretty good?
Yeah. Sounded great. I don't think she'd find two people more appreciative of her skill set than you and me. I don't think. Do you?
No. She's 81. God love
81.
Her.
81.
She didn't sound it.
No.
What was the most earth-shattering thing she said?
Oh, boy. Well,
four marriages, kind of five.
Five, really. One,
wow.
She married one guy that was not involved in show business, so she doesn't talk about him much
in the
book.
And that was just very short.
She was only married a couple months to that.
She was also booked to be Carol Brady, and then after like the ink was signed on a contract, Florence Henderson became available, so they basically stole it from her.
That
was interesting.
Wow,
she wasn't bitter about it, though.
Really?
Yeah, I would have been bitter.
I would have been furious.
Yeah. But it was probably one of those things, because she was working pretty often, and you don't know that the Brady Bunch is going to end up being a giant hit.
Well, so probably now looking back on it, she's probably ticked off.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You would think.
Yeah. Although they don't, that's one of those shows.
But she had to be on Mary Tyler Moore, so.
She was on that. She was a semi-regular on Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
She was on every episode. Speaking of which, I still didn't tell you who was on, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, did I?
Oh, no, we got totally sidetracked.
No.
Ed Farmer.
Oh, sweet.
Ed Farmer's going to be in.
Yeah.
In studio tomorrow.
White Sox pitching great.
The White Sox convention coming up.
Yeah. That's what he's going to talk about.
He's awesome.
I love Ed Farmer.
He loves us, I will tell you the
truth.
He
has some great stories.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a nice man.
The first time I met him, I mean, he was just like spewing stories about everything from golf to the White Sox to...
He's got it in him.
Organ transplants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he a font of information or a fount?
I think
he is.
Or is
it a fountain?
A fount.
No, it's... No?
It's font is like a letter.
Right.
So I think he'd be more of a
fount of information. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why he stands like in that weird pose, because he's like a fountain and water comes out of his mouth while he's talking.
He definitely has a commanding presence.
Yes,
you know?
He does.
Yeah,
yes, he does.
And when he shakes your hand.
You know it.
Absolutely.
No
you
question.
Almost broke my hand.
Yeah. He gives you a firm handshake.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that I can't believe I know. Like there's people in my life that I can't believe I know. Like I can't believe I know Sven Gulli. Every day I wake up, I go, I know I'm friends with Sven Gulli.
That's what I say about you and Wendy.
Thank you, Kim.
You're a good liar.
Thank you.
By the way, font and fount are two words that are often confused.
Yes.
And if I may just, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this, but here's what Oxford Words has to say.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right.
When referring to a wise person, would you write fount of knowledge or font of knowledge?
Fount.
This is another choice where both options seem to make some sense. A fount, with the U, is an alternative term for fountain, which first appeared in the 16th century.
Which is where I live.
Would you like a turkey leg?
A fountain, of course, is the source of a desirable entity, water.
Yes.
And this inspired the figurative use of a fount of knowledge. A font, on the other hand, is the receptacle used for holding water for baptism.
Yes.
Oh. Not F-O-N-T? Not just a letter.
Not just a letter type.
Which would collocate
Oh, listen
now
to you.
I gotta look that up.
With your high school words.
With the idea of wisdom being imparted. So they're saying fonts.
That either is right?
Well, they're making... Coincidentally, it also derives from the word fountain, but via the Latin way.
Stupid Latin
most
way.
People say you should use the F-O-U-N-T. That's the standard accepted term.
Right.
But you could really go either way.
Yeah. A lot of people do, Wendy.
Because I was baptized, in the font of wisdom.
Oh, you were?
Yes, that's why I'm so smart.
Now, if I was the host of Candid Camera, it would be the Alan Funt of knowledge.
I don't have time for you anymore. My brain hurts today. I just really...
I can see it pulsating.
I have a headache today.
Somebody was saying earlier, like, why can I not think? And I said, I just think it's one of those days where you just want to go home, like, sit in front of your fireplace in your pajamas with your slippers.
Yes. I
know do you have slippers,
kind of
Bill?
No.
I can't see him with slippers. Well, what do you wear when you're just...
Boots. Army boots.
No, when you're lounging around the house, are you sock-footed or barefooted?
That's a good question.
Or do you always have shoes on? Because I envision him always having gym
More
shoes on in his
than
house.
Tennis
even
shoes.
In bed.
No, when it's time for bed, I'll take the tennis shoes off.
But like if you're just sitting around the couch and stuff, do you ever walk or do you always have shoes on?
Almost always tennis shoes.
I knew
no
it.
No UGG slippers?
No. No, I've been given slippers for things like Father's Day and Christmas.
You don't wear them.
They're promptly returned. Because I just, slippers
wear
seems like something, like if I was in Greece having a sleepover with
other men.
Other men, right. In a scene that got cut out of Greece, but it was there. They shot it. They filmed it. Yeah, I'm not much on the slippers.
I just really envisioned you just walking around in gym shoes all night until
that's accurate.
And then you take them off and do you slide them under the bed or leave them on your bedside?
Next to the bed. The last pair of slippers I had was in grade school and they were little. They were the Miami Dolphins colors, and they had a Miami Dolphins player's head on the front with a helmet. I wore them for a while.
Oh, when you were a little kid?
Yeah,
my kids had like those Sesame Street ones with like Ernie and Bert's
character
head
heads in the front.
I get Bill as a little kid and now mixed up, so I'm sorry.
It's the same thing.
I know.
Yeah, my timeline is all confused.
That's so weird. So you just wear shoes around your house.
Tennis shoes, yeah. Well, you never know when a match is going to break out. I got to keep my shoes. What if somebody wanted to play really quick? I'm like, I don't have my tennis shoes on. I can always play. I'm always ready.
I don't. There are a lot of people, and you should do it, really, because if you talk about germs and everything,
your shoes.
Yeah, and leave them
we
by
don't.
The. I don't either. But I have a friend who she makes everybody take her shoes off when you walk in. I refuse to do it.
I feel weird asking people. And as a kid, I was trained not to walk around in your sock feet.
Right.
My grandmother had.
Why, I wonder?
Well, the reason she said you can't walk around in your sock feet is because, you know, in the Jewish religion, when you're sitting Shiva, like it's a, I don't know if it's old wives' tale, that you're supposed to just wear sock feet and not shoes. For that. And so, like, she would never let you walk around in sock feet because, God forbid, somebody thought you were, like, sitting Shiva, you know.
All right, I understand that.
Could you quickly say to somebody... Like, if somebody thought that, you go, don't worry, nobody died.
Right,
I just
have my socks on.
Yeah,
like, if ever she saw us, she would either make us take her socks off or put on slippers.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't thought about that in 100 years. So just,
that's what we like to do with this show, is bring you back.
Inspire the memories. My dad had a pair of slippers that he had from the time I met him, which was I was zero when I met him. I think today, if you visited him at night today, he was in a mixer. So he had these slippers that were they were literally slip-on slippers where there was no back to them.
Yeah, scuffies.
Like that.
Yeah.
So when he wore them, he
made the noise?
It would make a slip noise.
Yeah, right.
Like that noise all the time. You knew he was coming.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Here
we
he
weren't
comes.
Hiding from him, but you knew where he was in the house at all times just by that sound. You go, I know where that sound's
coming
from.
Okay, now, Bill, I have to know, do you wear a robe in tennis?
He doesn't wear a robe.
I don't wear a robe.
I'll bet you I don't have enough money to put this bet what I wanted to say. But I bet you just, you go home and you just stay like that until bedtime?
Most of the day. Well, let's say I have an
event.
Do
you have loungewear?
I don't have loungewear. But if
what event do you have?
After I work out or play tennis,
okay.
The work clothes are no longer.
Right.
So then it's just shorts and a t-shirt around the house.
Okay, good. At least
that's
you kind of relax a little in your house.
Oh, yeah, shorts and a t-shirt
with
almost
gym
all
shoes?
The time. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so weird.
So he showers,
very summery.
Puts on gym shoes, and then puts his,
Do you walk from with your stocking feet from After you...
And that's what I wear is stockings.
My eyes look great
Stripes.
On you.
It was a gift from Robin, from Batman and Robin. He gave me some stockings.
So he probably... What do you? You don't just take a shower and put your shoes on there.
Throw
do you at least walk
on?
To your bed barefoot or where your shoes have been waiting for?
Depends on where the shoes are located, but it's almost always.
Shoes on in the house? Almost always?
Yeah, more times than not.
That's weird.
You don't want to.
Does
wanna...
everybody in your house wear shoes or just you? I can't imagine.
I think mostly just me. I think. Yeah, probably. I don't know. It depends
you
on the circumstance.
You know you live there. You
yeah,
can
but
relax.
I don't,
there's not going to be a fire where you have to run out.
That's my fear. What if there's a fire or something?
That's so weird.
You
can
leave still
your
run
shoes
out in slippers.
I used to have, when I was a kid, are most kids afraid of somebody breaking into their house all the time? Because that was a constant fear of mine.
I was always afraid of monsters.
Monsters breaking in? Or
well,
just
monsters
being...
in my, under the bed. Like if I was scared to open a closet
yeah.
or monsters under the bed, I was
yeah.
more afraid of that.
Whoa. When did that go away?
Never.
It never went away.
I would not hang my foot over the bed when I was little
because of that reason.
Because there are monsters there that would grab it.
And I used to, so I would shield myself from the monsters. I would barricade myself in my bed with stuffed animals.
I would do the same thing. I swear I did the same thing.
You know, a monster can reach over a barrier of stuffed animals.
Don't tell me that.
Sorry, Ken.
I did the same exact thing. And this... I told this story years ago, Wendy, and you got mad at me for doing this, but I'll tell it again, and you feel free to be mad at me again. We had, in the apartment complex I grew up in, there was a time where there was a peeping Tom. There was one summer, and they didn't want to say it around me because they didn't want to scare me, but you'd hear in hushed tones people talking about the peeping Tom. And I thought a peeping Tom must be a monster of some sort, or they would talk to me about it. I didn't understand it was just somebody spying on you as you got dressed. I thought it was a vampire or something like that. So I would sleep in bed. I would cover myself with stuffed animals. And then I thought, he'll take the stuffed animals away. He'll find me in there. So I put a note with an arrow pointing at my brother. And I take him.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Oh,
I get so loose.
Self-preservation, though, because I'm thinking if I'm a monster,
right.
I gotta like a vampire would fly away with whatever he got. My brother's an easier, you can travel easier with him. He was smaller. Plus, then I don't
younger.
Get killed.
You know, I kind of felt bad about the monsters thing, too, once I saw Monsters, Inc., because
yeah.
I was like, they're
they've
so
got feelings.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
Wasn't one of the monsters in Monsters, Inc., Tom? Named Tom?
Sully.
Sully
and Mike Wachowski
Mike,
or something
right.
like that?
Mike
Wazowski.
Happy Hump Day. Mike, what day is it? Mike.
Love that. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that commercial, the Camel commercial.
But I really did kind of get more at ease about the monster situation.
After seeing that.
As an adult. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That helped me.
Absolutely. I have some sad news from the world of show business, Wendy.
Uh-oh.
Kay Ballard has died, ladies and gentlemen. Kay Ballard of the Mother-in-Laws has died. Boy, on the same day we talked to Joyce Boulafont, another TV's greatest. I don't know if they were friends or not, or enemies or rivals. I don't know.
She was a bawdy, funny woman.
Boy, was she bawdy. Sometimes she'd show up on The Tonight Show, and I'd be watching her, I'd think, I hope I never run into her, because she seems mean. Did you ever get that from her?
She did have a mean vibe going.
She did. Actress, singer, and
she
comedian.
She was a singer?
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
You know, but they were also vaudevillish back then.
Right,
like they all had multi-talents.
She came from there, Kim. It's funny you say that. She was
from vaudeville?
Yeah. Yeah. Best known for her role in the NBC sitcom The Mothers-in-Law.
I loved that show.
I did, too.
I don't remember that
you
show.
Never seen it?
With
yeah.
Eve Arden.
See, I didn't see it first run, though, Wendy. Do you remember it? They would run it in the daytime, like on days that you were sick from school and you'd be flipping the channel trying to find something interesting?
Watch game shows and soap operas.
That was most of it. But every once in a while, there'd be a channel where they would show a sitcom from a few years earlier. And for some reason, The Mothers-in-Law, which was only on for 2 years, I don't know why that was in syndication then. She died on Monday in Rancho Mirage, California, according to Associated Press. 93 years old, Kate Ballard. I don't remember the last time I saw her in anything. Do you?
Mm-mm.
Born in Cleveland, Ohio, Kate Ballard got her start in vaudeville.
Huh?
You nailed it. Before making her way to Broadway, where she appeared in 1946's musical Three to Make Ready. Boy, was that a hit, huh? Talk about the greatest hits in the history of Broadway. Three to Make Ready.
She was in Baby Geniuses. She played
a long time ago.
The voice. Was it animated? Baby geniuses?
No.
They had talking babies though, didn't they?
Do you have a picture up of her?
She played the mayor.
She's in my wallet.
Oh. Next to Joyce.
I carry around pictures of all my favorite TV moms in my wallet.
She was also on Love American Style.
Yeah, Kate Ballard.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Let me find a good picture of her.
In Three to Make Ready, her romantic co-star was Ray Bolger.
The Scarecrow.
The Scarecrow.
Yeah. Oh. After a stint in Cabaret, Kay Ballard moved to the small screen, first by playing one of the two wicked stepsisters in the live telecast of Cinderella. Oh, that's the one with Julie Andrews.
Well, you know Wendy hasn't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Oh, right. Did you see the Leslie Ann Warren version of it, Wendy? No? She was a regular on NBC's The Perry Como Show and appeared on The Patty Duke Show.
Oh.
Who would she have been on Patty Duke?
Maybe she was an aunt or something.
Oh, maybe.
Like a kind of a semi-recurring role.
She would have been a similar age to Patty Duke, though.
Oh.
So maybe a friend from school or something, maybe.
Kim, you'll have to look her up on your phone because I can't
find
bring
it with me. I will.
The definitive picture.
I could sketch
her
for you.
Okay.
Let me to quickly do a charcoal sketch of her.
So you wanted to know what she was on the Patty Duke show?
Yeah.
You guys are both asking me. She was on the Million Dollar Man? No, Million Dollar Kid. She played Mrs. Krabby. It was a perfect role for her.
Mrs. Krabby.
The Munsters Today.
So that was the reboot with John Shuck, I believe.
You're sick.
Right?
And I don't mean sick in a good way like the millennials today mean. You're sick.
You meant feverish?
Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Who was she in that?
Madame Agogo.
Oh, yeah.
She was a fortune teller.
Yep.
And what are you asking about Patty Duke Show?
Who was she on the Patty
Duke
Show?
She was on the Love Boat.
All of our guests today were on the Love Boat. Joyce Boulafont.
Alice.
Ted Bundy.
Did they move over to Fantasy Island, too, in the next hour?
Yes, they did. They took the Love Boat to Fantasy Island.
Do you remember?
Why did they ever do that? Wouldn't that have been a great crossover?
They should have.
The Love Boat goes to Fantasy Island.
There
that would have been great.
That's the next Netflix series. She was on All My Children.
No way.
Yes,
who was she on All My Children?
She was on All My Children, Mrs. Remo in 1970.
Mrs. Remo. I watched it in 1970. I don't remember her.
I don't really either.
You know where I think... No. You know who was in the... Remember when Erica went to jail for a summer?
Yeah.
I don't know what crime she committed, but she went to jail. And
was
do you know
she the
who,
warden?
No, she wasn't, but that would have been great casting. Do you know who Erica's cellmate was during that summer that she was in jail?
Mrs. Remo?
No, not Mrs. Remo.
No.
She's really famous now, but she wasn't at the time.
Was she a regular on All My Children?
For that summer, when the whole time Erica was in jail, she had kind of a butchy roommate who seemed like she was going to threaten Erica, but then in the end they became friends.
Yeah, who was that?
Kathy Bates.
Really? Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And she wasn't famous at all, though.
I remember when Meg Ryan was on Guiding Light.
That was like her first big job.
Yeah.
She was Mrs. Selby on the Patty Duke show in one episode.
All right, so she would have been older than because Patty Duke's characters weren't married. They were in school. Were they in high school at the time?
I think so.
So Mrs. Selby was obviously either a teacher or a neighbor or something.
Red Skeltonhour.
Ah.
Willie Lump Lump's birthday.
Willie Lump Lump?
Okay, that's where your dad got this.
My parents called me that as a kid because I had a weird growth on my head.
And also because it was...
they called me that affectionately. Willie Lump Lump. That's
well,
nice.
Well, they got that from...
You stole that from Kay Ballard.
From Red Skelton. Willie Lump Lump's birthday.
Wow. And my brother was called Clem Cadiddlehopper. How come? I love Red Skelton humor, Wendy. You know that.
I'm a sad clown.
Good night. May God bless. Remember he would say that at the end of every episode? He, after playing the that sad clown guy.
Yeah.
Good night. May God bless.
You are just really an old man in an
older man's body. Who else has mastered
shoes?
Who else has mastered that skill but me?
Oh, my God.
Wendy, it says here she was a regular on NBC's Perry Como show. Now, I don't remember. I remember that show being on, but I don't remember ever seeing it.
Yeah,
because you were
too
asleep.
It was too late for me.
Was that SCTV that did the Perry Como thing where they were
Como
laying down?
Kind of like a variety hour, too?
Yeah. He was mostly a singer, so he would have other guests on, and he would sing to them, and then they would sing to him. There was some sketch comedy, but not a lot. It was mostly just...
Comedy is a loose term.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't that great.
It was just... It was him and other singers like him, and they would just obviously sing for an
hour. But it wasn't Lawrence Welkish.
A little bit. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it was similar.
The Doris Day Show, she was on a lot.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that at all.
She played Angie Pellucci and Flossie Moore.
She played two roles on that show?
That's what it says.
Wow.
Angie Pellucci is most of them.
That sounds like her. I could see her pulling that off. Kind of the stereotypical Italian neighbor.
Yeah.
Always harried. I gotta make my lasagna like that every episode.
I love your roles as the Italian grandma. I really am a fan.
I played a lot of Italian grandmothers on 60 Seconds.
No one does it better, quite honestly. Well, even my Italian grandmother couldn't
kind.
Do it better.
You're being very kind. Thank you. Her other TV credits included the shows we just mentioned, Love American Style, Fantasy Island, appearances on Trapper John M.D., and of course The Love Boat. Earlier this month, the Palm Springs International Film Festival screened her documentary, Kay Ballard, The Show Goes On.
Oh, wow.
I was not aware of this, Wendy.
Me either.
I may have to take tomorrow off. Try to hunt that down. I love that she was at the theater the night the film opened at the festival, said Chairman Harold Menstner. He told the Desert Sun that. She received a serenade of applause.
Of course she did.
Now, is a serenade of applause a lot of applause or not that many?
I don't know.
A smattering would just mean a couple.
Yeah.
So a
serenade would be big.
Like a polite amount of applause, right?
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
Yeah.
She received a serenade of applause from all the people who gathered for a sold-out performance. I'm sure she loved that. I'm glad it was finished in time for her to see it and to enjoy it. I have to think that the market to see a documentary about Kay Ballard is probably not going to be gigantic.
It would be in Palm Springs, though.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, maybe.
Her real name, Catherine Gloria Bellotta.
Oh.
She was the daughter of Italian parents.
Oh.
So that's why she played the Italian grandma
so well. She probably drew from her own grandparents.
Singing funny girl Kay Ballard. That's what I like to be known as.
But didn't she kind of seem a little edgy, like the smallest thing might upset her, or am I reading too much into her?
She just played crabby characters, but now
maybe that's kind of like the Italian.
Yeah, maybe. You know?